This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago, and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
It's time to tell our Pod Meets World listeners that if you're currently tuning in via headphones, it's time you take audio seriously and join the JLab family.
JLab offers incredible sound for all of life's moments.
It's tech done better. Consumers deserve better than the same old tech they've been stuck with.
Instead of high price tags, everyone should have access to new innovations and products they actually want. So JLab thought, hey, why not do something about it?
What are you waiting for? Get out there and join the JLab family.
JLab.com. JLab. Your kind of tech.
Welcome to Pod Meets World. We are doing a very special episode of questions and answers because you guys have been so thoughtful and sending us in your questions to podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And so let's jump into it. So who came up with the name Topanga? Great question. And is a mystery of the show as
depends
far as I'm aware.
Depends on who you ask, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, but the correct answer is it's a name of a canyon and a street. In Los
right.
Angeles.
The, so
right,
really but who named it, who inspired who, by.
Right. Yeah. And but the idea is that that used to be like a big hippie new age hangout.
Still is.
And it still is kind of,
yeah,
right?
Still
it's
is.
It's like a very sort of backwoodsy part of
near where
of LA. So it made sense, you know. But yeah, Michael Jacobs tells one story, which is that he did it while driving.
Yeah, that someone from
freeway.
Someone called him to say we need a name for this character, and he happened to be on the 101 freeway at the Topanga Canyon exit, and he looked up and he said Topanga.
I call BS on that.
Yeah, and
there's no way the convenience
story.
Of the they, road and the road, yeah. You know, it's just a good story. It's a funny
well, yeah,
story.
He said if they his joke he always says is, and if they had called 5 minutes earlier, her name would have been White Oak.
Oh, right. I heard if they had called, I've heard if they had called 2 minutes, 2 minutes earlier, she would have been DeSoto.
Oh, okay. So which are the names of all the exits
Winnetka.
In a row. There you go. We just named all the exits in a row, people.
Exactly.
But we've
this
also
is a comedy
heard,
writer. So that's,
so yeah. I've heard Jeff Sherman.
Yeah.
I've heard Michael Jacobs. I've heard now Bill Lawrence.
Yeah, Bill Lawrence, because Topanga Lawrence. So yeah, Bill Lawrence told me that Topanga's last name was Lawrence because of him.
Yeah,
which
and yet
doesn't quite work out as far as when he because he did write an episode
work.
of our first season, but
It seems like Topanga was already introduced by the time his script made it in.
So yeah, right,
but we talked about that. Her last name might not have been introduced.
But he did
by
say no, Ms. Lawrence in my episode.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So the
So we don't know. It really is. Honestly, it's a mystery. It's of my goals for the podcast. If I had to pick five of them on that list, would be to find out who named Topanga Lawrence and like get the story. I would love to know because I've never fully known. I thought this was a really funny question. Did you guys have strict bedtimes when you were a kid filming a TV show?
Wow. That's so interesting. No, I've thought about this actually a lot because I have a pretty consistent bedtime with my kid. Like, we're not super strict. So if like friends are over or going late, we go late. But ever since he was born, my wife and I've just like, he goes to bed at this time. He takes a nap at this time. And we try to be as regular as possible. And I've realized like my parents had no bedtimes my entire childhood. And I do remember falling asleep everywhere. Like I would just fall asleep in my shoes on there. And it's so exhausting as a parent. I can't believe they did that. Like, we just go and go and go until we pass out. And I've never had a problem sleeping. So I guess it was fine for me, like mental health wise or sleep scheduling wise. But I, as a parent, like I cherish the time my son goes to bed and my wife and I can like have a drink or watch a movie or just talk without a child there. It's like so essential to have, even if it's a half an hour of like grown up time. So I can't believe my parents never did that. So yeah, I never had bedtimes my entire childhood.
Will, I know you were a little older.
I was a little older.
And living with like a legal guardian in LA. Yes. So you didn't, I'm assuming you did not have a bedtime?
I did not. I had a bedtime growing up the entire time. And it was an early bedtime to the point where literally back east, I would be lying in my bed trying to sleep while it was still light out and I could hear the kids playing in the street. Thank you, mom and dad.
What time was it?
Oh, it was probably like 7:30.
Yeah, you sound like Indy. He's always like, "Dad, it's still light," and I'm like, "Yeah, because it's June.
Exactly." But like, it's, you hear kids. That's always when you'd hear out your window. You'd hear out your window. They're like, "This is the most fun I've ever had in my life." Like I was like, "Oh man." So it's like stuff. But no, by the time we started the show, I was essentially living on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I had a strict bedtime, but it did, like, I did have a thing where it was like, okay, it's time for bed now, you have to go up to your room. I don't think they monitored whether or not I was, like, listening to music or, you know, I had headphones. Like, I don't think they were like, make sure you're asleep. Also, it really depended on what was going on that week, because as you guys have heard, for the first season, for at least several of the episode, my mom was braiding my hair.
Yeah.
And I was not able to go to sleep until, like, 11 o'clock because I had hair braiding to have done. And then obviously there were times too where in that first season where I was still terrified of losing my job. And so I was like rehearsing my lines and I still had homework, you know, like we get 3 hours of school per day on the set, but that didn't mean that I still didn't come home with schoolwork to do. And because I did go back to my regular school on our hiatus weeks, and as we've discussed, our schedules started on a Friday, which means when we had a hiatus week, it started on a Friday. And I would go back to Calabasas High School on Friday, which meant to the day I had to be caught up with all of my classes. If it was a test, I had to take that test. If it was like homework was turned in, I had to turn in that homework. So I don't remember there being like a strict bedtime, but there was definitely like, you need to go to your room now to go to bed. And then,
right, like close the door.
Calm down. Yeah, time to calm down. And also give my parents exactly what you're talking about right or now as a parent. I am so not strict. I'm flexible with the schedule. Like you said, if people are over, Adler goes to bed a little bit later. If we have something going on that day that's big, Adler won't take a nap that day. Like, and he thankfully is flexible and can adjust with that. But I live for that moment that it's 7:30. Yep. And I think now is the time where I can put you in your room. And unlike you guys, with the, you can still hear kids playing outside and it's light outside. My kids sleep in pitch black, windows blacked out. And very loud white noise. They can't hear anything and they can't see anything. It's 2 o'clock in the morning if you're in my kid's room, no matter what.
That's great.
So, and now I sleep with a bunch of white noise too, because now I've gotten used to it. All day, every day, you guys are asking us, where can we see video of the podcast? And we have to tell you, we don't have video of the podcast. Well, guess what? I'm here to tell you that we are doing our first ever live show. That's right. We are taking this podcast to the stage. You can catch us on October 22nd at the Magnolia in El Cajon, California. Pre-sale tickets are available now with code CHUBBYS, CHUBBYS. General sale tickets go on sale Friday, August 26th. At 10 a.m. Pacific time. And you can also get your tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. Come see us. It'll be a blast. Okay. Loved this question too. Why in the world were the monkeys on the show?
I think the proper answer is why not?
Yeah.
If you can get a monkey.
Yeah.
No, was it Sherman, right?
Yeah.
Jeff Sherman was friends with Ricky Dolenz?
Jeff Sherman, who is one of our writer producers, one of his closest friends is Mickey Dolenz, who was obviously one of the members of the monkeys. So when you're in with one monkey, you're in with all the monkeys, as they say.
Yeah.
And they were all on except for Mike Nesmith, who then came to, if I understood the story, the episode where, so they came on first sporadically, where I think in the first season, Rusty's old band comes back and Peter Tork comes on for the first time ever. And he was the
Peter Tork was my dad.
Right, but he started as a guest cast on Boy. He did not start, did he start as Jedediah? Was he always your dad?
I had three dads, but right. I think he was the first.
He was the first
as part of the band, and then also my dad.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure, so somebody has to check this out. I could be wrong, because again, we haven't seen this forever.
Are you talking about when they play Chubbies?
No. That's when all the monkeys came on.
Right.
Except for one who never will do anything with Mike Nesmith.
Never came on. But he showed up to the taping and then wanted to be put in. And Michael was like, well, we can't now put you in. Like, we're literally taping
that
in front of an audience.
That is not true. Where did you hear that story? Do you remember him being there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I know he was there. I spoke with him. I actually talked to him. Yeah. No, he was there with a big bushy beard and a hat. And apparently asked to he's like, he saw everybody there. He's like, all right, so I guess I'll go on. And Michael's like, well, now we can't do that. So no, he was there. No, we did an episode where Rusty was in a band and his old band was getting back together. And it was, I don't remember the man's name, the guitarist from Cheap Trick.
Oh yeah.
Was one of them. I want to say one of the monkeys was, I thought Peter Tork was in the band.
I have no recollection of this. So
and so it's like Rusty picks up his guitar again, because one of the reasons I remember
Rick
it is
Nielsen.
Rick Nielsen is that okay? So the tag is then Rusty hands Eric the guitar and says, "Here, what can you do with this?" And they play
that's
a riff,
right.
and
you
like
jam.
Eric's amazing.
Yeah. And then you throw it aside. That's right. I remember that beat.
Yeah. So that was I want to say Peter Tork. So what it was, because he came on a couple times, but. Maybe he was always Jedediah, but I thought he jammed with Rusty's band or something like that. I thought that was the first time.
We'll know when we get to it, I don't remember that. But I guess the short answer to the question is Jeff Sherman.
Yeah.
One of our writers and producers was very close with Mickey Dolenz. And then Mickey came on and directed an episode, which wasn't that first episode that they were on.
No, that wasn't until season seven.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, really?
The one with the bee. Yep.
The brain in a jar and a bee.
Yep.
It's an absurd
How come
episode.
I feel like I wasn't there? I must
you
have been.
You might not have been.
Season seven?
No. Yeah, you were definitely in the episode.
I think for a number of reasons we've blocked that episode out. We'll talk about that 4 years from now.
4 years from now when we get there. Okay. There were a lot of wrestlers on Boy Meets World. What was the connection there? And I can safely say that was Mark Blutman.
Is that what it was? Was Mark?
Yeah. As far as I understand it, when he started in stand-up in Canada, one of his main bits was to be a wrestler character. Like he would create, right? Isn't that it, Danielle?
Yeah.
And so because he became sort of popular within comedy circles as a like wrestler comedian—
He created
this character.
Very into wrestling. He liked it. Yeah. He knew a lot about it. He followed it. He's been a wrestling fan for most of his life.
I did not know that was the connection to wrestling. Interesting. Yeah. We had some awesome, incredibly nice men on the show that were wrestlers. I mean, Vader and Mick Foley. I still see Mick. And he still comes over and throws his arm around me and puts me in a headlock every time I see him. just the nicest people, and Vader, rest in peace, was just so sweet and so easy to work with. And great men.
So someone wanted to know if it was true that Danielle and Ben would eat smelly things in the later seasons as a prank for each other when they had to kiss.
Is that true?
I wouldn't necessarily call it a prank. I would say that Ben would regularly eat lox.
Bagels and lox and onions.
Oh,
yeah. I remember that from having to work with him too. I didn't have to kiss him.
Do we need to do that on the days when we have to kiss? Is it possible that maybe
there's just sometimes we could skip that breakfast. And
wow.
He thought the answer is no. And so I don't know that I would call it a prank. I think it's just, you know, torture. At that point, we, by seven seasons in, we were very, very comfortable with each other as far as, you know, kissing and what our jobs were as far as that was concerned. And it was never a big deal. It wasn't like I ever was actually upset about it or anything. It was more just like a real married situation where you kind of go, did you have to eat the lox? So
oh, that's funny.
That was that. And I mean, I don't remember it, that I had any... I think I was perfect. And so I don't think I did it.
Like mint and
exactly.
Roses.
I don't think I did, but I wish Ben were here to correct me, but I don't know. Maybe I did and I don't remember it. I'm definitely not going on record saying I never did it. Maybe I did, but that's I really just though. Remember. I remember the locks personally. Were there any off-screen romances or crushes? I'll go first. I had a crush on Ryder.
What? That's not true.
It is too true.
What?
I did.
That's not true. You've never told me that.
I had a crush on you.
Not true.
I had a crush on you.
Wow.
What? Uh-huh. You saved that for 30 years? So going back a few,
I was your first celebrity crush.
Wow. So JTT and me, you really had the Teen Magazine thing covered all the way through the 90s.
I really did. I really did. Yeah, I did.
When did it start, Danielle?
I think it started in maybe later in season one and definitely through season two.
Wow.
And yeah, I did. I had a crush on Ryder and I don't know. He was so smart and he was, you know what? One of my favorite things about Ryder, and it still stands to this day, Ryder is very effusive. Like he will tell you how he feels.
Yeah.
And he's very free with his compliments, but he doesn't throw them out willy-nilly. When Ryder compliments you, it is thoughtful, it has meaning, and you can tell it's coming from a very real place. And when Ryder and I really connected, like I think when I first started Boy Meets World, Ryder was probably annoyed by me. I think I was like a stereotypical LA girl to him.
Talking about my LA hatred. Yeah,
yeah, no, he hated LA.
I would have assumed you were like a Valley girl, even though I guess you did live in the Valley at that point.
I did. I lived
like
in the Valley.
Grown up there.
But no, yeah. I hadn't grown up in the Valley, but I did live there at that time. And I do think you probably were like a little like eye rolly about me, but then. Yeah,
sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, sorry. It took you 30 years to apologize for that, Ryder. Sorry.
But yeah. Then we did. We actually ended up forming a very nice, deep friendship. And we had very meaningful conversations about whatever was going on in our lives. And I just remember like Ryder and I were in an acting class together for a while. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting like a real, very real compliment from Ryder, like, you, my friend, are doing really incredible work. And then feeling like, oh my God, I love you. And I think I told you I found a diary that I wrote for like 3 months of us being on Boy Meets World. Will also found a diary. And I found my diary and I was reading it and it was so embarrassing because I would end the diary with like, P.S. I love. And then there's like four people I loved. And Ryder was one of them.
I made the list at one point.
You made the list. Oh,
yes. I love that.
Yeah. Oh, so I did have an on.
You
I did have
heard
a crush
it here first, Ryder.
Wow. I know. This is
not
new.
Even fans. You heard it here first, Ryder.
Yeah. Because I've heard the story. Didn't you and Ben like try and go on a date at one point or
yes,
something?
But I get,
that's the story I've always heard.
Well, yes. And it was, but that story got misconstrued. It was like we went on like a real date. It was really truthfully, there was a moment where at some point, I think it was probably season 3 or 4. I think we could drive at the time. So we must have been, one of us must have been 16, but maybe even not because I don't remember being in the car together. I just remember that we like looked at each other after all these weeks of playing boyfriend and girlfriend and all the kissing and just kind of like, I don't even remember how the conversation happened, but it was like, should we just go to dinner? One night, like, let's just go to dinner, just the two of us, which we had not really ever done. And so we did. We went to dinner and it was very quickly into the restaurant meal that we realized, like, this is a hard boundary to jump. Like,
yeah,
I've known you for now a long time. I feel like we're just being our jokey, friendly selves, but now in a restaurant where there's like this pressure of like, do I like you? And so it was very obvious that no, what we had was just this very fun, non-romantic, something I would consider more than a friendship, something shared history with someone that's more than friendship, but not at all romantic. And that it was going to be an undefinable type of relationship where I've kissed this person more times than maybe I've kissed anyone else or will ever kiss anyone else. And yet we are never going to turn it into something romantic. It's just going to be a deep respect and friendship that will be unexplainable to most people. Mm.
I never had a crush. I mean, you guys were all so much younger than me. I mean, I was usually dating somebody.
You did date Nikki Cox from the show.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, like,
for a moment,
of like regular cast, there was no like romance behind the scenes or any of that kind of stuff for me. I mean, again, I dated Nikki. I dated Jenna Von Oy for a little while. And then I was with Love for 2 years. I was with my girlfriend in Canada for 2 years. So I was like, I was with people for a while of the show, and it just wasn't. No, I had a very different Boy Meets World experience in it. Like, I love hearing you guys talking about like riding in the car together, and when you guys, I mean, I never did that with any of you because I was older, so it was I was right in the middle. I was too young to hang out with Betsy and Rusty and their friends, and too old to kind of hang out with you guys. So I was kind of lost a little bit in the center there. But I always, you know, had a girlfriend, and I had a very small group of friends, and would usually hang out with them. So yeah, there was never kind of any romance stuff for me.
I was always in a relationship. I started the show with a girlfriend. I think I've talked about on this podcast. And I was always miserable. I was always, because I was always missing her. I was like just so full of self-loathing and angst. And God, I look back and I'm like, cheer up, kid.
Sean. Because we were together. That's why you're Sean.
I know, I guess so. Yeah, so I had a girl from in my hometown, you know, that I had met in third grade that I was in love with all the way. And we were together from like 13 till 16, I think. And then I dated Rachel, who I met on the set of Boy Meets World, and she came to a tape night, Rachel Lee Cook. And we dated
You met her
David
on
Combs
set?
Brought her. Yeah, because David Combs had been her studio teacher on Tom and Huck with John and JTT.
Okay. So I didn't know you met her on the set. Interesting.
I met Rachel when David Combs brought her to a tape night, and it was the same night, it was an episode that Mina Suvari was guest starring, and I had spent the whole week flirting with Mina Suvari. We'd never, you know, hooked up or anything, but I was so in love with her. And then Rachel showed up, and like, then we
that was started. It. Do you want to hear something crazy about Mina Suvari? I don't know why, but right when you said you did an episode with her, I remember exactly her dialogue from the episode.
She's like a bouncer or something at a dorm?
No, she's a friend who comes in and somebody says, oh, he's, I have no idea what this context is. I don't know what it means or why, but somebody says either about you or Corey, oh, I want you to meet the boy who spits water. And she says, a boy who spits water? Why does he spit water?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I have no idea what that means, what context it's in, but I distinctly her saying
we should
that.
Get Mina to come onto our show.
She would.
Because I ran into her, and she, like, years later, she was like, oh, my God, it's so good to see you. Gave me a big hug. Remember being on our show.
Conventions occasionally. Yeah, she loved being on our show.
Oh, man, we should definitely have her on.
Yeah, so I was always in a relationship, because so I really wasn't single on the set of Boy Meets World until I was, like, 17.
And you were single for like 3 weeks. You are a serial monogamous. You always have been. Yeah.
I the only person on the show I ever had a romantic relationship with was Matthew Lawrence. I then did date Matthew Lawrence while we were on the show in, I don't know what season that was, maybe season 6.
You guys kept that pretty quiet though.
We did not want people. We did not want it to be a big deal on set.
Way later.
Yeah, we didn't want it to be a big deal on set.
Yeah, you kept.
I went to his
quiet.
Prom. Our moms were friends. It was cute.
Yeah. Maddie's a good kid.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and
loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
Hi, I'm Danielle Fishel from Pod Meets World. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the U.S.? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. In every episode, host Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work!
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending!
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
Did you guys get into arguments like siblings because you were basically playing a family?
Sure.
Yeah,
we did.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And not only that, but we were also a family that didn't shy away from political debates. So there were lots of heated political debates. There were religious debates even on our show. Like outward. And, you know, I always felt positive about it. I'm not sure if everybody feels as positive about it, but like, I remember enjoying that. I remember enjoying the tough, like the, you know, I think I needed to be toughened. Like my skin needed to be toughened a little bit. And I remember Will, you really like sort of teaching me, cause I grew up in a family where we never insulted each other. Like it was the most earnest family in the world. My mom to this day does not like, cannot do a sarcastic voice, and she doesn't read sarcasm. It's like, it's just, she's so earnest. And, you know, like we never said shut up or any of those sort of, you know, but the idea that you would like jab each other or like make fun of each other or tease each other was something I did not get introduced to until Boy Meets World. And I remember you explaining that to me, like, it's okay. Like, it's okay that you can tease each other and make fun of each other. And it shouldn't destroy you. You know, you should be able to bounce back from that and tease back. And that can be a form of affection. And I really learned that on the set of Boy. But then we also would get really into some intense debates. We still do. Will and I especially still do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've been at many a dinner with Will and Ryder.
debates. And I'm like, guys, I see both sides here. And what I think Will is trying to say, well, Ryder, what I think, and I end up playing that role where I try to explain what I think the other one is trying to say.
I love it though, because I think, and I mean, intelligence is certainly one thing, and that's, you know, you can debate however you want to, but Ryder, you are certainly far more educated than I am. So every time that I debate you or we have kind of a conversation like that, I always feel like I have to step up to try to get to your level. So it makes me feel better at doing that.
We've actually pinpointed this difference relatively recently. I absorb news only by reading. I do not watch news. I do not. Right. Whereas you get your news by watching mostly, right? Like,
And so not anymore. we were able to pinpoint
that difference. Is like, you know, because I have this experience where I've been reading about a political figure, for instance, for years, but I've never seen their picture, so I don't even know what they look like, because I believe in the news as purely text based. Whereas you watch news channels, and so that alone creates a different type of education. You know, even if we're talking about the same subject, we're going to have completely different interpretations of it based on our source material.
I just stopped. I tried to watch everything. I would try, you know, people were like, you watch Fox News? Like, yeah, I watch Fox and MSNBC and CNN. Like, I want to get every possible side of it.
Inducing for me.
And then after a while I went, now I don't want to watch anything. And it's been a good year or two where it's like, I don't turn the news on. I just can't. Yeah. I can't do it anymore. I needed a break.
And Ryder also, like, the difference too is like Ryder really believes in acting locally. You're involved in like your school board and you get very involved. And I've always respected that about you, that you're like, no, I can affect change. One person can affect change. And if it's one person and then you get your neighbor and, the people around you, you can really, making a difference on a local level is sometimes way more important than trying to do it on like a global level. I did appreciate that about our sets, even though I probably didn't jump in. I didn't grow up in a family that talked about politics a whole lot or, certainly not openly. My parents may have, but we didn't talk about it with us as kids. And so I was more like reserved and probably thinking like my opinion doesn't mean anything and I don't necessarily know what my opinion is. So I'm just going to stay quiet. Yeah, I do remember those discussions. I especially remember religious discussions. Religion was big.
Yeah, we had a lot of religious discussion. Yeah.
Because we
had some religious people on our set and then everything in between.
It ran the whole spectrum of spiritual but not religious to atheist and everything in between.
And very religious. Yeah, religious,
and
very spiritual.
And different types
very
of religion, too.
Atheist we had and everything
Judaism,
is what I meant. Yeah.
Christianity. It was like, you know. Yeah.
We represented everything, and all of us were opinionated, and we all liked each other, so we all would talk about it. And, of course, that always – everybody listening to this podcast has been around the dinner table and genuinely loving people, and still in that moment you hate them and you argue with them and you do this. I mean, that's how we were. That's what we were like. Both my parents are lawyers, so we had to learn how to argue growing up. We just did. And again, there's times on the set, like you talked about the teasing, there's times where that got us into trouble. You know, there's times where you would tease somebody who didn't know you were teasing them, and
feelings get hurt.
Feelings get hurt, and we talk about that. And we got, you know, there's, you know, it's certainly toughened up. I certainly got toughened up a lot by a lot of your arguments. I mean, we've talked about this, and I'm not going to get into any specifics, certainly, but there's two major political ideologies in my life. The two issues that Ryder completely changed my mind on. And I mean completely changed my mind on, from one side of the argument literally to the other side of the argument. And it's because he made a better argument. We sat there and we talked it out. We yelled it out. We did everything. And at the end of the day, I had to look at myself and go, no, he's right. Like, he changed my mind. And that's I think that's important, too, when you're open to if you're just yelling at each other, it doesn't matter. But if you're open to actual change, then it is a discussion. And I always look back at that like, no, those two things he completely changed my mind on. So it happens. Hmm.
Interesting. I think I know what those two things are, but I okay. What 90s shows were we watching? Were you guys watching any other 90s shows at the time while we were on a 90s show?
No. Oh, I was. I got one right off the bat that was addicted to, especially with my roommate Spencer at the time. We would get Taco Bell and we would watch Melrose Place. Like, oh, addictively.
That's right. You were a Melrose Place fan. Oh, I remember that.
Addictive. Like, never he worked at Fox episode. At the that's time. So he would occasionally get an episode early, and we would just, oh man, Taco Bell and Melrose Place, and just sitting there that's like, hysterical. Oh, I hate these people. Oh, it was great. It was awesome.
I watched X-Files with my family. It was it was appointment TV for my family to watch X-Files. And then I did watch, at least for those first couple of seasons, I did watch the TGIF block. Like, Family Matters would start it at 8 p.m. and then Boy Meets World came on at 8:30. Sabrina was on after us. And then I don't remember what ended the block, but I would watch the block.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper?
Maybe at 9:30.
Could that have been? Could that
yeah,
have
Hanging
been
with Mr. Cooper was after us, I feel like.
I think so. I never watched any of the other TGIF shows. I watched our show from 8:30 to 9 once a week, and like that was it. Mm-hmm. I also watched Seinfeld.
Way to support.
But not till later. I know. Terrible support.
You didn't watch Seinfeld when it was on? You watched it later?
No, I watched it later. I found it later, and my wife was addicted to it and really got me into it.
I didn't discover Seinfeld or Friends until in the early aughts. And
me
then
too.
I remember I didn't watch television. So for me, it was always movies, and I didn't really get into television until Netflix wasn't around, because then I could get the DVDs, because then I would watch it, because I never even had cable.
Oh, that's right. When they're mailed to your house, that's right.
Yeah, so that's when I caught up on, like, a lot of shows, like Friends, and then I also watched Sopranos, of course, and, like, that's when so it was all DVD related. I never watched anything on television.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
Hi, I'm Danielle Fishel from Pod Meets World. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the U.S.? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. In every episode, host Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeny has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
Okay, here's a good one. Was anyone ever injured on set?
I was.
Oh, yeah.
I was too. Wait, Ryder, were you
first,
ever injured?
Danielle, were you ever injured?
No. Ryder? You mean like, I no. We can talk about my ingrown toenail and being on Vicodin during a scene, but that wasn't an injury because of the show. That was just me.
Ryder on Vicodin's awesome.
No, I'm trying to. I think, I mean, all I can remember is Ben when the roller coaster.
Yeah, that was awful.
What happened?
Were you not there for the roller coaster incident?
That famous scene, I think it was in the opening credits on the second season, so people might remember it. There's an episode where Ben is riding a roller coaster and it goes down. It ends and like it just goes down, but the way they had designed it, it had a thing right in front of his crotch. So when it stopped, he went right into it. And
it was rehearsal.
He ended up having to go to the hospital, I think. Yeah. It was terrifying. I mean, it was probably the most painful experience he had ever experienced. I was there for it.
Me too. He was genuinely hurt. And it was like, it was during run through. So everybody, like the whole.
Was that what it was? I thought it was during rehearsal.
So we had rehearsed getting in and out of the roller coaster because remember, if I remember the episode correctly, like Corey and. I forget. I think Corey and Feeny get Eric and Turner to ride this roller coaster and they keep getting really sick. And then we do something to turn the tides and it turns out being Feeny and Corey and he's in the front. And so we'd rehearsed. And then for run through, it just goes down this little ramp, like at the end, like this tiny little ramp, like you're ending a roller coaster ride. And they hadn't had the seatbelt secure. So it was just Ben kind of holding on, and the centrifugal force obviously threw him forward into this board that was right between his legs. And I can still see him writhing in pain. I mean, it was like he was hurt. Yeah. And they took him off to the hospital and everything else. That's the
only injury I remember, and that obviously wasn't even me. So I don't think I ever got hurt. When did you get hurt, guys?
Mine was very silly, but remember the Subway episode where it's like a New Year's Eve where we get trapped?
Yep. Yeah.
There was a piece of metal that was very sharp and was sticking out along one of the seats, like from under the seat. And during a run through, I walked alongside the seat to get to my next blocking, and it completely slit open my shin.
That's awful.
And of course, it was during a run through, so I was like, "Don't do anything now. Just suck it up." And then the minute the scene was over, I looked down and I just had blood pouring down my leg.
Oh my God. You kept going.
I kept going. I didn't say anything to anybody. I was like, nope, not going to even ignite. Didn't even wince. Was just like, keep moving. And then I looked down and I was like, oh, I'm bleeding. And so that was it. It's a very minor injury. I didn't need stitches or anything. I do think they made me get a tetanus shot because I wasn't sure it was like rusty metal. I think I had to get a tetanus shot.
The subway car was built for a 1930s movie.
Exactly.
And we just dragged it out, throw it up there.
What about you, Will?
Mine was not on the set. It was such a strange story. It was when we were playing basketball and I fell down playing basketball and I did something to my thumb and I thought maybe I'd either dislocated it or broken it, but I was fine. I just taped it up and moved on, but I told our teacher, David Combs, and when you then tell your teacher, you kind of trigger the next things that happen on a set. And by that point, we hadn't told anybody because he wasn't allowed to do this, but Spencer had to leave for the weekend to go on a business trip. And so he was at LAX ready to get on the plane, and David Combs called me and said, I have to take you. I called OSHA or whatever, and you and your guardian have to go to the hospital. And I had to tell him Spencer's not here, and he said, you have to get him back. And I remember they had to page Spencer in the airport, and he had turn around and leave the airport. It's probably Burbank Airport, probably wasn't LAX because we lived on the street. And so he literally had to leave the airport right before his flight to come and take me to the hospital for them to go, no, it's a slight sprain. And he like missed the whole, it was like a Fox weekend he was supposed to do
for some kind of
publicity thing. And I just kept saying to him, like, I did not trigger this. I'm so sorry. Like, I'm so sorry. And he was pissed.
Was Spencer getting paid to be your guardian? Was he getting a break on rent or something?
Well, yeah, I think I was paying most of the rent, but for the Oakwood. I mean, it's not like we were living in some lavish.
No, but that is one of those situations. Like, you know, he was inconvenienced. Like, he was technically your legal guardian for that whole first year, which is crazy because he was only 20.
26 maybe at the time, 25, if that. Well, yeah, wow. I mean, yeah, so he's my brother's age. So wait, I was, been 24, 25, because my brother's 8 years older than me. So, but yeah, I remember had to take him out of the airport because he snuck away for a weekend, leaving me alone, which he wasn't supposed to do. And it was like, he had to come back from the airport and he was not happy.
Oh man.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
Other than that, I can't think of anybody else. Thank God.
Would you encourage your kids to become actors, Ryder? You have a very performative child.
Wow, I'll say.
I don't know what to do about it. Yeah, I really don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go off.
Encourage is a tough word. I mean, I would say you I'm sure will not discourage him from following his dream, I would imagine, if that happens to be his dream.
He said, a couple years ago, he said something, I mean, even on this podcast, he talked about being famous. He said something about like, wait, could I then be famous? And like, he gets really excited. And I definitely have discouraged that idea. I've told him, I was like, hey, here's the way I felt about being famous, man. It's not being famous, you know, isn't what you think it is. Like, it's not, I think in his mind, it's just a net positive. Just like being rich is a net positive. You could also be famous. And so I've had to sort of explain to him, you know, I mean, I don't make him feel bad, but I just explained to him how it made me feel and how I don't know if it's the goal. The same way I explained to him when he talks about wanting toys like other rich kids have or, you know, whatever. I'm always like, why do you want stuff? Like, what are you going to do with it? I mean, you want to play with the toy? Yeah. But if, you know, it's better to have an experience or a good meal or anyway, that's what I'm always. So the same thing with fame. I'm just like, if you want to be an actor, and I have told him because I do think he is ridiculously performative. You know, I explained what an acting class was, and he got really excited. And the idea of improv, like exercises, when I explained what some of them were, he was just like, but that's easy. That's fun. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're going to love it. So but most of them don't start till 8 anyway. So I'm going to start him up in the fall. He'll start taking an acting class. I've seen some parent friends of mine begin their kids with, like going right to headshots, agents, and auditions.
Wow.
And that was a quick way to ruin acting for them because obviously you don't get every part. And obviously that's not fun. You know, maybe it's fun. You show up for a certain commercial and they're like, hey, do this fun thing or say these funny lines. That can be fun. But really, you know, unless you get work right away, it can easily kill the acting experience. So for me, it's like Indy has to take an acting class or do a play. He's as expressed, he doesn't really want to do a play, but the idea of acting class where he gets to improvise or do characters. I mean, the kid has a whole set of characters. He has a whole set of voices.
As someone who does voices, he's good at them.
I know. So yes, he takes these challenges. We have these conversations. I am engaging him like I did on this podcast when I had him do his dinosaur stuff. So I'm encouraging him creatively and I want him to build the right skill set if he wants to do it. I do not want him to chase child actordom or fame or money.
Yeah. Danielle, you've got two little ones. You want them to be, would you encourage the business?
No, I'm not encouraging the business, but here's what I'll say. I think our job as parents is to show kids how that the world is full of possibilities.
Yes.
And then they will show you who they are. And I am not going to try and he doesn't know who I am. He's three. He doesn't know what I'm known for, but he does know, like, he saw the first time he ever saw me on TV was when we just did Good Morning America. And the day before we were flying, you know, we did 90s con and we did Good Morning America. And I had told him the night before, I said, now, when you wake up tomorrow, mommy's not going to be here. Daddy is going to be here with you and daddy's going to take you to school, but mommy is going to be on a plane. And he was like, okay, he really like took that in. And, you know, mommy's going to work and she has to go on a plane to get there. And he's like, okay. And so then the next morning he said to Jensen, when Jensen went in there alone, and he said, mommy's on a plane. And Jensen said, yep, mommy's on a plane. And it was the next day we were on Good Morning America, and Adler was sitting on the couch and Jensen turned it on for him. And he pointed and he said, mommy? And then he looked at Jensen and he said, on a plane?
And being on a plane mean being on TV?
And Jensen was like, yeah. And so I think he thinks I flew on a plane to get on TV. that's how you get to TV. And I'm going to tell, when he's ready, when he's capable of understanding, I'm going to tell him all of the things that are possible in the industry. And if he wants to do it, then, you know, I'll probably do the same thing Ryder did, like really try to teach him the art of it. And see if that interests him. But I, you know, if I had my druthers, no, it would not be the life that I chose for him. But we'll see what he wants to do.
I definitely think my kid, I want him to have a life in the entertainment industry, because I think he's a natural storyteller, performer. But it could be dancing, could be singing, could be, you know, the acting thing seems like kind of the easiest route in some ways. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that he has an awareness. He is in my wife's movie, though. He's an extra in my wife's movie that she just, and so he was on set and he actually got to do the slate, which is
that was awesome.
I saw that video. Yeah.
I sent you guys that video the second it happened. So he's already felt comfortable on a set and really enjoyed it. And everybody, of course, loved having him there. So I, more than anything, I want him to have that, because there's a lot of great jobs in the entertainment industry, you know, like being in the art department, being a grip, being a camera operator, like sound, like these are really good, lucrative jobs.
DP. And they're consistent. I mean, there's great stuff.
And you get to be around the magic. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just the film industry, for me at least, what I still can never get enough of is fake snow and fake blood and all the like things we do to make our make-believe so much fun.
So I love all
that
stuff.
And I just want him to have that, you know, as an option for, he is.
Your son's a performer.
Yeah.
I will never have to worry about it. So we can move on to the next question.
I think we've covered all of our frequently asked questions that we got via the email. We encourage you to send us more as we go. You can email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram, podmeetsworldshow, and our website where you can buy our merch and our cute, adorable little t-shirts.
Merch.
podmeetsworldshow.com. And yeah, thank you for joining us for a question and answer episode. We hope that this was interesting for you and not like a fake episode, but we wanted to get to your questions since you guys took the time to send them to us. So we love you all. Pod dismissed.
Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production, Danielle Romo. Producer and editor, Tara Sudbach. Producer, Lorraine Ruiz. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan, Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon. Follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.